The Donut Box.
The Donut Box.
It's Women's Month, and in the spirit of the podcast where we talk about things we usually don't talk about, we're going to be talking about women. Well, we don't talk about that. No, but we're going to be talking about our relationship with other women and our relationship with our body and how that is affected by so many things. And it's not just me. We also have Miss Joelle from the Paano Kung podcast and Miss Liz Lanuza from the Project Vanity podcast. So if you're ready, let's unbox this story.
Happy Women's Month!
Yes, okay. If it's your first time seeing us here, we are going to introduce ourselves. My name's Joelle from the Paano Kung podcast.
My name is Jo Sebastian from the Donut Box podcast.
I'm Liz Lanuza from the Project Vanity podcast.
Yes, and this is the ultimate collaboration.
The podcast.
For hashtag listen yes. to women.
Yeah. And it's our first time to meet, which I feel is like a little bit intimidating because, you know, this is my first time in a long time that I'm doing a podcast again. So I'm like, oh, the experts are here.
Oh no, we're just here to support you.
We're
you
all
know?
Just learning from you. Each other, honestly.
Thank you.
Okay.
Women's Month is coming up. Probably it's already Women's Month when this releases. But what does Women's Month mean to you? Like, I think over the years, it's gotten a lot of significance. More people are celebrating it. Because I remember even just 10 years ago, we didn't get this level of excitement and interest when March comes in, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what does it mean to you now?
For me, I agree, no? Parang recently lang, it's like, ah, may ganun, may Women's Month. I think it's always been like October because like breast cancer awareness, yung parang pinaka Women's Month. But it's nice that we're talking about it. But I think the goal would not to have Women's Month because like, does that mean That's we have true. March? So does that mean that every other month is men or anything else? Yeah. So I like that we have this as a conversation to be able to have events like this and initiatives like this to have. Mm-hmm. But then the goal is to not need this anymore eventually. But, yeah. That's you know, it's all those tiny
That's a great
steps.
Point because like, you know, when they say Mother's Day, Father's Day, shouldn't that be like every day you celebrate your parents, things like that? Where it's true, we shouldn't have to have a specific month to celebrate something because it should already have like a space and it should already be something that we prioritize. But for now, I love it. Like, yes, let's celebrate us.
Yes. Why not? Might as well.
We'll take it. But I think Women's Month is a fantastic way to kind of bring to light a lot of women's issues that otherwise we weren't going to be able to talk about. And I think for this podcast, for this topic today, it's very relevant, diba? We're going to be talking about
Women. and it's nice, no? Because I think in the context of, like, we talk about having to celebrate Women's Month now. Okay, our rights, we want to push that, you know, being able to take up space. But we do forget that in that fight towards that, baka na tatamaan din natin yung iba.
Yes.
So that this is why we're all here together today, diba? So yung the whole concept of women against each other within that. So yeah, we're gonna share our personal experiences, the things we've learned as well through the years, and yeah, hope you listen
to us women
listening to each other. Okay, so ang question that we have here first, no, is do you think that women are more competitive with fellow women?
Okay, I'll start. I think yes, because we've always felt like we only have like one spot that we can fit in. Like for a long time, it's always felt like that. There's only, I guess for also all like different groups as well, there's kind of this like diversity cast that tends to be in that mix where, okay, I am the woman cast here and there can only be one because there's only been one character written. So I feel like there is definitely that internalized competitiveness, internalized now, because I guess there's a lot more space now, but before there really just was one space. So I think we're carrying that competitiveness until today because we feel like there's only one of us who can be seen and known. And I guess we're all kind of
unlearning that. Yeah. No? Now mm-hmm. that we talk about it more, parang what do we do next? Knowing that, hey, there's maybe more space than we actually think.
Yes.
How can we create more space here? Mm-hmm.
That's
but
the question.
That's true, no? I guess growing up din kasi it's like super downloaded na, okay, marami tayong kailangang patunayan sa mundo. So, we'll fight extra hard and by doing that, natatamaan din yung iba.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's there, unfortunately, but we're all trying to kind of change the way we speak as well and move. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I think women being more competitive has definitely changed over time. I think that back then, you know, even just 180, 60 years ago, there were such limited opportunities for women. We didn't really have full-time jobs. Like, imagine, do you know how transformative it has been for the world when women entered the workforce? Our production, you know, all over, you know, businesses, jobs, income, expenditures, like GDPs all over the world. Ooh, transformed when women.
Technical.
Yeah, when women entered the workforce, that's like 50% of the mm-hmm. human population working and making mm-hmm. their own money and making and having a lot more power about the way that they can live their lives. But before, imagine you're a trad wife. Like this is mm-hmm. huge on TikTok mm-hmm. right now. But like oh, back then, God. You had no choice but be a trad wife if you wanted to be economically.
Yung path mo,
yeah,
no?
That was the only way. You marry a good man, hopefully a good man, and the man will like support you in, for all your expenses, for all your needs. And back then, that was the only way we could survive. You know, in a way that was. In a way that was acceptable. But I think that now that since we've entered the workforce, I think majority of women started entering the workforce around the 70s, the mm-hmm. 80s. In the Philippines, I think it was the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like even my Lola, I remember, didn't have like a full-time job. Do you guys, mm-hmm. diba?
Yeah.
Wala. Even our Lolas, imagine
just like
that's
here
just,
and there, they're yeah. just like doing these things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. parang pag nakikita ko sa birth certificate of parents, yung mga occupation was
housewife.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh nga, no. And it wasn't diba? Too long
it
ago.
It was just two generations ago that yeah. women didn't have full-time jobs outside of the family. And when that happened, it changed the landscape for all women. Because back then, when we were only competing for men, we had to make everything about us pleasant to men. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we had to look a certain way. We had to speak a certain way. We had to be servile in order to get that economic advantage. But now we don't. And I definitely think that women are still competing with each other. I am friends with very competitive women as well. But they compete in other ways. Not necessarily to take down other women to make themselves rise. Mm-hmm. It's more of competing with women and with men and for men.
Parang
also.
Mm-hmm. Competitive
so it's like,
lang, period.
Competitive lang, yeah. period. Not necessarily against women.
Right.
I think it's a situational thing. It depends on your environment.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who works in a government agency and it's a very stratified system.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hierarchical with sexist male bosses.
Right.
And for her, in order to be able to gain favors, you know, to get promotions, she has to compete with other women because there are literally only a few spots for her to succeed in and for her to have. But, you know, for industries like ours, where it's more creative, mm-hmm. For entrepreneurial industries, where there's less of a hierarchy, it actually benefits us to collaborate with other women because mm-hmm. that way we all rise, we all succeed. So I think it depends where you are.
That's yeah. true. That was a really great point of how competitiveness has changed. Like before, it's just trying to get that one spot, but now it's being competitive to make more spots available for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the competitive is still there. I think that's human nature. We're all competitive
yeah.
about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just changing what we're competing for, what we're working towards in that sense.
Yeah, yes, and I like that you mentioned that it's also kind of based on the industry. Kasi kung in government, I did work in government before and I did see that definitely parang a lot of the males are still like yeah. with the mm-hmm. key chief positions and the women had to, you know, move a certain way. And I also see this in like the entertainment industry where you're supposed to look and present yourself in a certain way. If you're not that, you would not get the spot or the mm-hmm. promised spot to be this big star or to be that leader, whatever. So merong ganong gigil behind the scenes as you try to go up there. So mahirap yung push. But this kind of, I think, since it is changing, I think a lot of who we are din kasi is based on where we came from as well. So I do want to kind of insert my own paano kong question and ask you ladies as okay. well. But like, paano kong we talk about your personal experiences with relationships with and friendships with women growing up. How was that like for you? Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
we talked about this kanina, yeah, yeah. And then I like that it's so different. So yeah. it shows different perspectives as well. So I love that.
So from my experience, I personally didn't actually have a lot of... I had a lot of friends, but I didn't make a lot of close friendships, now that I think about it. Because now I don't really have a lot of people that I turn to and talk to. And I think that was my own personal competitiveness with myself, where I wanted and focus too much on like my goal, this is my goal, which was often related to just like looking a specific way, just my body, things like that. And I felt like I didn't have time to connect with other people or have friendships mm-hmm. because I was so focused on that. I forgot to live my life in general, and part of living your life is connecting with people. Yeah. And that's something that I completely like glossed over. And now I'm looking at all of these like women who are friends, and then they share each other, like they share everything with each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have that. Like I just mm-hmm. realized that. And it's just a weird experience to realize how much I missed out on in like women friendships and supportiveness, because I had that competitive feeling in my mind that I wasn't allowed to have friends yet at that moment in my life.
Oh my gosh, parang in-isolate mo na effectively mm-hmm. your sarili mo by dealing with this, and then, during your formative you years pa.
Exactly.
That's so tough. I actually want to talk about like the pick-me girl phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I think that when I was in my teenage years, I remember I was like super into this guy, and then he ended up not liking me even after confessing that I liked him. Mm-hmm. And I talk about this a lot. I still talk to him sometimes. And I remember just that feeling of competitiveness, like I want this person, but I'm not able to have this person because he prefers a more traditional, you know, looking feminine person, a more feminine okay. person. I was very, I guess, intimidating and very strict when I was younger. But I think that was such a huge thing before. Like, I feel like Taylor Swift, I want to discuss Taylor uh-huh. Swift, had a huge pick me era. You know, she has like some songs where she's like, you belong with me.
She wears short skirts.
Yeah, I wear t-shirts. Shirts. I was talking to my husband about that. Like, how is that an achievement? I mean, she's like on the bleachers, and she's like the other girls are cheerleader. Like, why are you flexing your mediocrity?
And
I was just
right.
But anyways, like I think that being a pick me girl, even just in that era, early 2000s, right. was such a huge thing because I think all of us grew up in like an age where we have to have a certain body, we have to have mm-hmm. a certain look. I mean, you know, diet culture back then was mm-hmm. insane. I remember. I mean, even until now, my mom was always like talking about my weight, talking about my hair and all of these things, even my friends. And so there was like so much pressure na, you have to pick me. You have to mm-hmm. be that girl, yeah. you know. And I'm glad it's changed over time. Like now, of course, the older I am and the more mature friends I have, the way that we relate to each other is a lot more supportive. Mm-hmm. And I don't really spend a lot of time with people who are not necessarily supportive of, you know, what I'm trying to do. So
yes, she knows. Yeah. She knows her worth.
Yeah, I know what I'm worth. I know what I want to spend my time on. And it's generally more supportive women.
So do you think during that time, that particular moment in your time, were you a pick me girl then? Would you say in that way? You're parang trying to be one of the boys at that
oh,
time?
Oh yes. Oh my god. Okay. In high school, my god.
We love self-awareness.
Yeah.
I'm very self-aware. And yes, you know, like trying to process that as an adult.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I mean, it's not my fault. This is how I
circumstance. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I think you mentioned earlier that it's how you grew up and how you were raised. And I think that, you know, going through that is important also to make you realize like, wait, that's not right.
Yeah. And limited din kasi yung options natin before. If you're not the girly girl, and then you're the sporty one of the girl, one of the boys type of narrative.
The tomboy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. And it still appeals. May kanya-kanyang market din siya. So I see that then. But how was your friendship then? Were your friends also with would that fall under the pick me girl also? Were you like barkadas of one of the boys, or how, or were you the one of the boys within the girly girls barkada? How was that? I'm curious.
I had more guy friends, I think, okay, back then. More guy friends.
Do you think
back
that was
then
a choice? Like, it was a conscious choice for you to like want to make more guy friends? Yeah, like, do you feel like that was like in your mind where it's like, I don't want to hang out with the girls, I'd rather hang out with the guys?
I think that's a good question, actually, because I think it's an experience for all of us. Mm-mm. That when we were younger, again, it's very different now.
Yeah.
But when we were younger, like hanging out with the girls can sometimes feel like a viper pit when we were younger,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Like you have to watch everything. You have to be like careful. And we're all just hyper aware of what each other is doing because that's the way we calculate that our value, our worth.
Uh-uh.
Like, oh, she's dressing a certain way. Oh, yeah. She's like, so I feel like a lot of women our age before in our teenage years, we were very conscious of being judged by girls.
Women.
Like, mm-hmm. I have a friend who never also had like a lot of girlfriends, yeah, back then, because having guy friends was more comfortable. Mm-hmm. There was the hyper surveillance. Yeah, walang drama. There's no hyper surveillance. It's you can kind of like be more relaxed. Of course, still within a certain expectation of the patriarchy, mm-hmm, but it's less stressful in that sense.
I see, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Ako naman kasi, my experience, I grew up in a dorm. Actually, we went to the same high school na dorm isolated in the mountains. And that shaped a huge part of how I grew up also as a woman. And it was in a batch of us. We were six girls, all roommates. And I think that was new at the time. And we were kind of the target of all the seniors kasi girls kami na maaarte. And to be the target of being maarte na parang, bakit? And we're just being expressive. So I was like, mm-hmm, a lot of that I remember feeling just by being overly excited about something. Parang, arte nyo? Sino kayo? Ganyan.
Yeah.
But that kind of bonded us na parang, okay, kung ayaw nyo sa amin, edi kami na lang. And as we went up through the years ng high school, parang, okay, edi ano na lang, kami na lang magsusupport sa isa't isa, mm-hmm, kung if everyone looks at us differently. And that became like a system of support, and that felt for me a safe space to express who I am and present how I felt comfortable. But I do remember a specific time in my life when me and my best friend were compared by our own mothers.
Oh,
that's rough.
Oh, because same age, same schools, mm-hmm, and everything, and they're like, "Oh, bakit si ganito?"
This one was like grade school,
high school, oh, high school. Because we met grade school, high school, all the way. We're still best friends now.
Okay.
And I remember those stories that our own mothers were like, "Bakit si ganito? This is what she's doing." Ganyan. And I'm like, you know, like, why? We're different people. Yes, we grew up together, but we're different in essence. And I think it helped lang din that we knew who we are together, mm-hmm, and how we were different as people. And that helped a lot.
Yeah, I think that's great that even that comparison didn't put you guys down of like, oh, my mom wants me to be more like her, I'm gonna be like her.
Yeah.
Here I go. I really like what you mentioned of how you stuck together and you were kind of like, okay, they might compare us, but it's okay. We know who we are.
Mm-mm.
That's so important, especially for like young women.
Yes.
Because for me and my relationship with my body and all of those things, I was so unsure of who I was and what I wanted. Mm. It was like, of course, it's perfectly fine to change what you like over time. But it was always based on what other people wanted, or I thought other people wanted. And that's something that I realized, like your relationship with yourself is so affected by your environment. And my environment was same high school, toxic ballet culture. You had to look a specific way so that you could fit in, like as a dancer. And then when I stopped dancing, then it was you have to look a specific way to fit in to society. So it was always just like me trying to shape myself into whoever other people wanted. Not so much in personality, but in my body shape and size, right? And it's like, it's just so interesting that you had that like, I know who I am. And it's so inspiring to me because I was like, I don't know who I am.
I think at that that moment and then it changes and shifts. No, pero it's a huge thing, the whole relationship with food and your body at such a young age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what your platforms are also, diba? Like, talk a lot about, like, how you present yourself with Project Vanity and your relationship with the tools you use as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you guys feminist? Do you consider yourself a feminist?
Okay. Yes, but because for me, because the feminist in general has too many meanings. So it depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to somebody and you're like, yes, I'm a feminist, some people will be like, yeah, feminist. But some people get what it means. So it, like, for me, yes. But it also depends on who I'm talking to, because sometimes they will misinterpret what a feminist is. Yeah.
So, most people actually don't know what it means. Yeah. Weirdly enough, they think, oh, it's women hating men. It's women thinking they're better than men. It's absolutely not what it's about. But most people, that's the initial impression, right?
I believe I'm a feminist as well. But yeah, like Joe says, like there's that, I feel like I drown sometimes with what it means and what it should be and what's expected. But then it's like, isn't that a very unfeminist thing na parang may certain expectations? Hindi ba yung, at least my understanding of what feminism is, just letting women live the life they want without hurting others.
Yes.
And just continuing to have options and choices.
Yeah.
Ganun siya for me. That is what
feminism at its core is just advocating for equal rights for women and men. I think that's it. And being feminist helps not just like women, but also all other minorities. Because when you start thinking about, human beings having equal rights, men or women, other minorities. Mm-hmm. I think we're all able to, again, rise together, listen to each other, talk to each other, understand each other. I think that's so important. But it always like puts me off when I hear like someone is not a feminist. I mean, I'm not angry, but also I find it, there's so much miseducation about it. Someone told me that she was a human. She's not a feminist, but she's a humanist. And I'm like, oh. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, great. But also, but women are, women's rights are not yet quite there. We're still making less money than men in many parts of the world. That's just one example. And we still sacrifice way more when it comes to like family, when it comes to familial responsibilities and things like that. So there's still a lot of things that we need to work towards when it comes to female equity. And so that's why conversations like this are so important. But have you guys experienced, so being feminists, right? Have you guys experienced instances where, you know, like being a feminist has affected your relationships with other women?
No, I don't have any relationships. No, I'm fine. But I get what you're saying, because I think also because, the idea is like, what is feminism, right? And a lot of people think that it is that women now have to be girl bosses instead of whatever they want. But no, feminism is more of like giving women a space to choose.
Yeah.
Like it's just to decide what they want to be. And sometimes people think that, oh, you want to be a girl boss, so you don't want to have a family anymore.
Black and white. Right?
It's like, no, we're not saying that all women have to work. We're just saying now women can work or decide to do what they want to do. I haven't had any experiences with people in real life to talk about these conversations. I mostly just watch them on YouTube.
I think for me, it's like, from meeting different women and understanding their experiences in relationship, in relation to others, na some have to fight against women din talaga just for to be seen. Some didn't grow up with female friends who are supportive as well. So I think that there's just like another layer of understanding also why, like curiosity again, parang bakit ganito yung beliefs mo? And then from their understanding, okay. If you're set in your ways, okay, but that's feminism, right? Like if you want that, that's fine. But we don't have to, you know, shit on other people's choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have friends who are, you know, like who are of a certain religion or religions, and they don't view feminism in a good light, you know, because of all the miseducation around there. And so it's hard to navigate that relationship.
Right.
But I think that I do believe that at the very core of it, like all women want to be, you know, want to have the same opportunities, the same access to choices as everyone else around us. I think we all want that. And no matter what it's called, no matter what, you know, religion you have or whatever denomination you have, mm-hmm. I think that's true. And but I think that's true. So I think that understanding that allows me to accept,
yeah.
Accept that maybe this is not the hill I want to die on.
Okay.
more on that. Yeah,
there are
other
things.
There are other things to talk about.
Right.
there are other things to listen to, but it's not something that I'm like, you have to be feminist or mm-mm. else you're not a good person.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that for me, but I think that's something that we all need to know how mm-hmm. to navigate as women,
yeah.
In our relationships with each other.
Or I guess that's why conversations help. And then just being who you are, you don't necessarily have to change other people's mind. But I was reminded of a friend who used to call herself a guy's girl. Yung parang one of the guys also. And then she told me also recently how being friends with me, she saw na, ah, okay, not all girls are out to get each other. Pwede din pala yung pwedeng hype lang na, yes, let's go. So I guess by showing up for who you are and what you believe in mm-hmm. and then just supporting and then just letting the love like trickle in and see what they kind of want for themselves so mm-hmm. that they can choose.
Judge later.
Oh, parang ganun siguro. Yeah. I guess, maybe.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like what you mentioned about how your senior classmates were picking on you because you were a Kikai. And, you know, I didn't necessarily grow up Kikai. I remember I liked makeup because my lola was actually a makeup artist.
Ooh.
She worked at the Cultural Center of the Philippines. Seryoso ha. I think this was later in her life after she was done being a homemaker, right?
Uh-huh.
So she was a makeup artist. And I remember being inspired by all her makeup and all. But I was never the Kikai girl. Mm-hmm. It was only in college that happened. And I was considered a very serious person. I took political science in UP.
Oh.
That's my degree, which I've never even used. I don't even have
my... Oh. Sorry, are you all?
Yeah.
Outside?
Oh, yeah. UP.
UP? Oh, wow. Yeah. Which UP?
Diliman.
UP Diliman. I took speech comm.
Uh-huh. I took community nutrition.
So both Diliman?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Manila.
Oh,
I'm Manila.
Oh, but was yeah. Iska. Iska.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, when I took that, so I was like, considered very serious, but then I started blogging about makeup in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I started blogging in 2005. You know, discuss more serious topics like philosophy. Oh my god,
burn out ka na sa mga pinag-aaral mo.
Yeah, because right, you know that was what we were studying. But you know, in 2008, I got into makeup. I started getting into makeup, and you know, there was this consciousness of like, oh my god, what if no one takes me seriously? Because I think we have again in our very subjective value system, as a lot of women look down or like take down women who are more interested in makeup or looking good.
Yeah,
or,
it's
you know,
like an easy target.
You know that ano, simple girl. Like people, like when you're a simple girl, that somehow assigns you like higher score, or higher rating of being a woman. You're not trying hard. You're naturally beautiful. That's great. Enjoy that. But I think that, that's also still working within the lens of the patriarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how, like when I started talking about makeup, I think a lot of my, back then, my friends were like thinking, bakit siya? Yun lang pinag-usapan. Yung hiling niya sa makeup, wow, pulang-pula yung lipstick na putok yung blush. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's all,
yeah.
that somehow it's a bad thing.
Right.
Like it took me a few years to like process that and realize that me liking makeup doesn't necessarily mean I'm not serious anymore or mm-hmm. that I'm less of a person or that this is all I think about. I think it's just one aspect of my personality. But I actually want to quickly talk about this really interesting hypothesis. It was on YouTube about how birth control definitely changed the way that women and men approach sexuality now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think aside from going into the workforce as women, having access to birth control was such a game changer. Because
yes.
then we have freedom towards making decisions about our reproductive health,
yes.
at least when we get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so back then, if you were a promiscuous woman, if
mm-hmm.
you were a person who slept around,
mm-hmm.
then you were basically giving the goods up without the guys, like, you know, marrying you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were doing that, like, it meant that you were kind of, basically you were like dropping the price. And that women who weren't like giving it up were like, we're like, wait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was or like not. More like, wait, if they're dropping the price and men would just like go for it. Sorry ha, baka hindi PC, but this is just quotes in quotes, okay? In quotes. And we can maybe change that. but back then, if you were like a woman and you were just like, you know, sleeping around with other men without marrying them, then it means that the institution of marriage was undervalued. So it's like supply and demand, right? If you were giving it up without having to get married, then why would men bother, like, getting married to respectable women? And then, of course, that was a loss of opportunity because then men wouldn't want to marry. And so women then arbitrarily decided that if you're doing this, you're a bad person. Okay, because you're a bad person, you're like, oh, you're immoral. But ultimately, it's an economic decision, right? If you were sleeping around and not getting married while doing it, then, you know, like the value of marriage goes down and women, I mean, it doesn't like benefit them back then because they didn't have a lot of options. And so I think that's why, you know, becoming like, quote unquote, like a slut is such a bad thing. Becoming promiscuous is such a bad thing. But now it's very different. And I lost my point.
I was like, well, I have that conversation a lot in my podcast when I talk about like paglalande, and there still is a lot of like bad vibe. You know, people still have a lot of judgment behind that. Yeah. Parang, okay, ew, malandi ka, or whatever. Like, but like is it a bad thing? Yes, malandi ako. Is it a bad thing though? Because you're controlling and actually having a choice over what you wanna do for yourself. Syempre dapat responsible naman yun lagi. But it's interesting also how within women, or from women to women, na may ganung ano din, like people would pull you down also by kind of like telling you, ah, malandi yan. So, ginanon yung value agad just because they have a different lifestyle or choice.
There had to be a scoring system. Yeah. Super arbitrary. It's not right, but there had to be, because if you're a low-value woman, you shouldn't get high-value men, you know?
There's always ownership kasi when it comes to like women's bodies in general. Yeah. There's always some form of ownership in our like society where in order for me to accept you, you have to fit all of this criteria, whether that is in looks or in the things that you do or the things that you like. And it can only fit one specific thing. Actually, connecting to what you were talking about in like makeup and, you know, getting into that for yourself, and also like our value to other people. I think what's important for us to talk about is how your relationship with yourself is affected by other women's relationship with themselves or their body image, because a lot of our body like ideals now are beauty standards. We know they don't fit for everyone, but we also know they came from somewhere. So the question is like, where did they come from?
Where did they come from?
And like, how does that affect us now? And like, even the standard of how many people you're allowed to be with, like, where did that standard come from? And it always comes from, most of the time, it does come from men.
I'm sure it was set there. Yeah. It was planted long, long, long ago.
For sure, because the ownership was there. Like, you can't be with anyone else unless you're married. So that was already ownership in itself. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, you have to look this way.
To be married. To be desired, right?
You have to have big hips because that's going to say you're going to carry a child very well for me. You know, so there was always that aspect. Like, for you guys, how is your relationship with your body? And how is that affected by other women in that sense?
Such a tough question. No, I have a very complex relationship with my body. I think I mentioned to you when I met you, I have like mild body dysmorphia according to my therapist. And I mean, it's good to be kind of like seen in that way, because my mom, I love her, best person ever, but she was very conscious of her body, and she would always be in these diets and would always like comment on my, it was such a different time, right?
Yeah
It wasn't that you were a bad person, it's just what everyone was talking about,
right? It was just a topic of discussion.
It was just a topic, like, you know, our elders now, you know, our elders now, our elders now, when they see us have taba mo ha, pumayat ka, I mean, it's such ingrained in all of us to like talk about weight. And that was the diet culture of the 90s, I remember.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like even my dad was kind of like that. Like he would always talk about or comment on my weight. And, you know, that's something I've had to process for so long. I'm 36 now and it's still there with me. Recently, I've lost 20 pounds. So in the last six, 7 months, I've lost 20 pounds. And you know, for like years, I gained weight during the pandemic, of course. And I think I gained 30 pounds during the pandemic just because of stress.
Okay, yeah.
Running a business during the pandemic, I do not recommend.
Pandemic in general, do not recommend.
Yes. It's just bad for your mental health and for your, you know. But anyways, I gained so much weight during the pandemic. And, you know, I was just like, I'm going to love my body. I'm all about positivity. I just want women to like kind of be at peace with the way they look like, because I think that's definitely the way to you know,
to be
quieter life.
To be quieter life.
Quieter life inside your head. And to just, so I was like all about this. I gained weight. I was like fine with it, you know, it's totally fine. But then I lost weight. 20 pounds. I work out. I was prescribed a medication by my cardio because I have hypertension. And so when that happened, though, I really noticed that people treat me differently.
Yes.
I mean, people now talk about body positivity. They talk about how love your body, you're beautiful the way you are. This is all true, but it's still very different. Even just within 6 months, the way people treat me, the kind of projects I get, the kind of work I get is definitely influenced by
how you look.
How I look like. And, you know, this is something I'm still processing right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's shaking me a little bit. It's shaking me a little bit and questioning, you know, so should I just gain weight? And of course, I don't want to gain weight again. So why not?
My health.
in my head. Because health is such a huge thing for me. Okay. Yeah. I needed to lose that weight because, I had like a heart disease. And I have pre-diabetes, so it really wasn't good. So parang, where's the balance? And I feel like, how do you find that? How do you find that balance within yourself where I love the way I look like, but also I'm not looking like this because you wanted me to.
You know? What you mentioned of how, you know, I forgot what you mentioned.
Which one?
That one. I got it.
Which one? Weight loss, 20 pounds.
No, before that. Oh, yeah. So you were talking about how body positivity.
Yeah.
Body positivity actually has a very different message now, because it started in the 1960s, mainly as a way for women who were in larger bodies to create a space for themselves. It was just like, it was a movement to create space. But the internet has changed the meaning, where body positivity can either mean love your body, but only if you look a specific way. Mm. And that's what you see in a lot of messaging. Like, you're seeing all of these posts of people saying, love your body, it's the best. But you're also only seeing one body that people are commenting and saying, yes, you look amazing. And then if you don't look that way, you don't get that same response. Right? So I definitely agree with the struggle of how can I accept my body but still focus on my health? And I think that will always just come into intention. If you come into it with the intention of doing it to feel your best, to take care of yourself, whatever your body will look like, that's secondary. But we can't deny the pressure that we have to look a specific way as well.
For more work opportunities and how people also treat you as well, no?
Yeah.
That's why struggle na siya forever.
Exactly. Because when I talk to my clients, they're like, I don't like my body. Like, I'm not comfortable with it. It's like, yes, it's okay not to be comfortable with it, but remember what's important is you take care of it. But I also know the limitations, because you have things like, if nahadaan ka nung, what do you call that? Like that part where, in that small part, may discount ka. Like you have all of these things that's constantly telling you, you have to look a specific way. So how do you balance that? Like it's so hard.
Exhausting.
Oh my gosh. For me naman, grabe na trigger ako with when you made kwento your mom din. I think she was a bit more intentional with the way she talked to me. Na, I remember finding out a few years ago lang na she made it a point to not tell me that I look beautiful or anything.
Oh,
not make
I love
any
that.
Of those
so
comments.
Enlightened.
right? But I noticed her also noticing her own body and then and then pointing out my legs. So I did not have a concept na ako maganda ako hindi, pero alam ko yung legs ko was an issue. And then I was a skinny girl all throughout my childhood, teen, all the way to like 20s. So parang it wasn't an issue, yung body, yung having to deal with body image wasn't an issue kasi yun yung privilege of looking a certain way na payat
yeah.
ka.
Mm-hmm.
So that changed when the when my body started changing, metabolism slowed down, tapos dun na siya, and you're like, oh, and then the health issue starts coming out. Okay, payat ako, but was I healthy? No.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I really appreciate then what you're doing with your content as well, and the food, and finding yung the whole not restricting mm-hmm. yourself and adding, and that's kind of been part of my journey also, finding the right balance between health and being okay with being strong as well and with the way I look as mm-hmm. well as we kind of transition towards aging. Because what I've noticed, I've had that conversation then, pag bata ka, people kind of put you down, ah, bata ka pa, you don't know a lot.
Yeah.
And then, but now that I'm entering my 30s, now old na for so many being on TikTok, people are putting me down now for being old. Old.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny.
Oh my God. I have kwenta there, but okay, go.
No, because that's so funny to me where, like, before I used to think na parang 29. Oh my God, that's so old. And then now I'm like 27. I'm like, I haven't even done much. Like, yeah. I have so much to do. And it's just so funny to me that, like, that shift of how when you're younger, older people are always telling you you don't know stuff. And then I realized that I think they didn't know stuff either because I don't know stuff now.
Yeah.
We're all just guessing.
Yeah.
No, but my cuento is, like, last year, I mentioned, so I'm on TikTok, you know, and I mentioned that I was 35, I think. I was just dressed my normal way. But I mentioned I was 35 in some random video, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was going to be my birthday. So I think I mentioned I'm going to be 35 in a few days. And people lost shit. They were like, you're 35? You look 45. People were like, you look 55. Admittedly, I was dressed in a very Lola fashion. And Lola fashion is fantastic. Fantastic. I love it. No, like, you know, tweed, curly hair, heavy makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very dressed. So they were like, you look 55. You look 45. How are you 35? Like, what are you doing? And so I was like, really, wow. that really affected me. Of course, I know that these comments are coming from a place that is unhealthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they think is hurting them more than it theoretically hurts me, because it's just a comment. And that's fine. But then it started to make me think, like, do I look that age? And do I really look 45 or look 35? I've always looked older for my age. I think it's definitely the way I talk, the way I dress. I remember when I was 25, there was an internet forum in the US, actually, talking about, because Project Venti was a thing, and so they were talking about how, you know, I just found out that Liz Lung's 25. Like, wow, she looks 35. She looks 40. And that was when I was 25. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
so
God.
I think I'll always look older than I am, but the fact that people are, you know, really quite shocked and really quite angry that I'm not is
so
surprising.
They care so much.
Yeah, care so much.
But also, who set the standard of how 25 should look like or 30?
Yeah.
Sino na naman nagsabi nito?
No, that's the problem, is that we have movies where high school, but they're like 25 years old. So you're like expected that's what you're supposed to look like in high school. But you're also supposed to look like you have gone through nothing when you're older. So it's like, what am I supposed to look like?
Yeah.
It's so arbitrary. Like, I turned 36 a few weeks ago, and I definitely look different from last year, and people are like, wow, you look more youthful, Miss Liz. Like, what are you doing with your makeup, what's your skincare? So I'm like, so it's very complex feelings for me, right? Like, I can't say that I don't feel great receiving those comments, and I've talked about how to get a real glow up, and so much of it is health, really. And I've taken care of my health more in the last 6 months than I have in the last few years, and that was the result of that. But you know, it definitely sets up very conflicting emotions about my value and the way I look like, even at the time when I'm very secure in myself.
Because ninawawala ng bullies pa rin, there will always be something that someone will have to say about something.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest lessons as well, is that, you know, everyone's gonna say something. Like, they'll just find something to talk about. But all of the time, that is a reflection of their own beliefs and their own thoughts. Like, when it comes to diet culture, everyone's going to comment about what you look like, what you should be eating. And it's okay to be hurt, for sure. But you also have to know that that's what they went through. Like, our parents. My mom did a lot of dieting, although she didn't really talk much about our bodies. She did talk, like your mom, she would always talk about her body, and we're listening.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to hear that, and you're going to look at your stomach, look at your stretch marks, and be like, oh, I'm not supposed to have all of these things. And then those thoughts are passed out down to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. So it's just that we have to consciously decide to shift that thought process and that narrative of, like, okay, we're going to start commenting about other things. We're going to talk to people in other ways and listen to people in other ways. And in connection to that, what are some things that you guys wish we talked more about with each other rather than our body? Like, as women, what should we be talking about?
I'm lucky to have really good friends, really good supportive female friends. And so, you know, we don't actually often talk about people. We do talk about, of course, the way we look, like Botox, such a thing, Ulthera, whatever. I haven't done any procedures on my face yet, even though I have access to it because of my job. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's another thing entirely. But I think that instead of talking about our bodies and the way we look like, there is so much more to explore, like, you know, future plans, the way that we want to go forward. Because my friends, I have younger friends, I have older friends. I think everyone has like a concern, something that truly matters to them. So whenever I'm in conversation with anyone, really, I like to get like straight to what really matters to you. I mean, yes, there's the mm-hmm. body, but like, what really matters to you? What are your goals? What, how can I support? Something mm-hmm. like that. So that's really more of what I want to talk about in general, which I know makes me sound a little bit like super solicitous.
I love that. What matters is,
yeah. You know, what's important, right? Why do you do what you do? Why is this important to you? And, you know, talk about that. Because if we hyper focus on our bodies or our flaws, or all of these negative, or comparing women to other women, mm-hmm. pitting them against each other, I honestly find that, for lack of a better term, boring. Like, there's so much more to talk about, and there's so many interesting things to talk about, and yeah, maybe discover that. Yeah,
I think it's a challenge then, or to parang remind ourselves of the things we do talk about by being more intentional when mm-hmm. we're in our core circles or when we're with other people, especially women, then, like, highlighting that it's Women's Month. So instead of other people, instead of what you've been doing for your body or an outfit or yung mm-hmm. nabudol or something, I think it's also important to, aside from what you mentioned, yung what's important to you, like, what's something that brought you joy recently?
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's bringing you joy? And then being intentional with the activities that you're doing with your friendships as well. Parang, mm-hmm. I think since we're all, like, also glued to our screen and being more present with each other and experiencing life as well, I think that would be a nice, like, challenge moving forward with, outside of the pandemic, after that, na parang being stuck chatting and talking, like, being intentional and catching up with people when we're together. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a nice thing to do.
Talking about our body is not necessarily bad, mm-hmm. right? But then sometimes it feels like that's the only thing we also focus on. We forget to ask all of these other questions.
Right.
Like, my sisters and I, we're just in the car and she's just like, what do you think is the meaning of life? And I'm just like, the fudge? Like, what? What are you saying? And that just, like, sparked such a great question of, like, what are the things that make you feel alive, you know? And then that's when we started to make plans for other things to do and other things to connect with. And like you mentioned, we are so glued to our screen and you end up in like an echo chamber of everything there. Mm-hmm. You think that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And you realize there's so many things that matter. There's so many stories that matter.
Yeah.
But we don't get to listen to it.
I do have a question about, like, it is right that I think we can't not talk about our bodies then, because that's part of us growing older mm-hmm. and changing as well. How can we shift it into being kinder na lang, the conversation around our body?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right what you mentioned. When you see somebody, the first thing you think about is to comment about what they look like, because that's what your initial thing mm-hmm. is that you see.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense. For me, I think it's more on focusing on, like what you mentioned, what are your interests now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if they're glowing, what's that glow from?
Okay.
Is it from within? Like, what is happening? What's uh-huh. making you happier? Or just asking questions, like the true question of, like, how are you really?
The truth. My favorite question to ask when I'm meeting a new person is, what do you do when you're not working? And I think that already opened so many. A lot of them actually answer TV or Netflix.
Or like, I don't work.
Like, I get that. I'm like, wait. Yeah, I think it's a safe answer. But I think maybe also some people are afraid of being vulnerable. So mm-hmm. they just kind of answer, oh, I just watch TV. I just eat. I just. Mm-hmm. But like, they won't admit that they love Gundam, like building Gundam kits, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not cool. Or they won't admit they love cosplay immediately. And I think, the feeling of not being able to share your true self, of being vulnerable, is something that we all have to deal with in being more honest with ourselves and other people. Because these topics about talking about our bodies, talking about other people, negative or positive light, these are much easier conversations to have, yes. I feel. Because it's there's already pathways to that conversation, mm-hmm. to those kinds of discussions. But like, really answering honestly, like, how are you really? Or yeah. like, what are you really interested in? Like, I have a friend, she's mm-hmm. super into dolls. She loves dolls.
Okay. What kind of dolls?
She loves, what do you call those? The small ones?
The matryoshka?
No, as in the Japanese ones. Small oh, ones. Not the ball-jointed okay. dolls. Okay, I don't know what they're called
chibi
exactly.
Ones.
Letter L. Basta. Okay, they're like okay. cute. Oh, they're not anime yeah. ones. They're oh, like little girls. She loves collecting that. And you know,
Lolita dolls? No.
Not Lolita.
Iba pa.
Letter L. Oh my God.
Okay. Okay. Those dolls. Remember. I'm just trying to imagine like a room of dolls. Yeah. I just don't know what dolls.
She loves Barbies also, but she loves these specific Japanese dolls. Whenever we go to Japan together, oh, okay. she would just buy these dolls like in some random store in the back.
Collection niya talaga.
You know, really her okay. thing. But it's not something you can easily open with, right? Because traditionally people think, oh, that's weird. Like, you like dolls? Like, you're this age, you're like 45, 50, whatever, and you like dolls. So there's a lot of judgment mm-hmm. when you share your true self. So I feel like when people get asked that, they don't answer as truthfully as they could. And I think for women specifically, I think we have to be ready to be more honest about, you know, answering these questions and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. Because that way, you know, we get to have more opportunities. We get to rise up. We get to yes. do more things together. Like, you know, when I met you, earlier the first time I was like I feel like I opened like really strong
yeah.
I told her I loved her content. It was very influential to me, and so I feel like going for that might be like not the traditional way to start anything, but I think it's a great way. So, and I'm not ashamed about that.
Yeah, and I love that because it's like just break the ice, like just start yeah. a conversation. Because yeah. I'm an introvert, so for me any conversation is always just like hi.
What else can I say?
I'll just wait for you to ask a question.
I am the ultimate introvert, guys. I just learned to have a proper conversation, I think, during the pandemic, weirdly enough. I wanted to do a workshop. I mentioned this in my Instagram. I wanted to do a workshop, like how to hold a conversation. Because sometimes I'd go to like press events, influencers are there, press are there, and everyone's just like,
yeah. And I think everyone's just scrolling to pass the time. Yeah. Like, they want to talk, but they're just like,
they don't know how
to. They're not sure what to do also. So just awkwardly. Yeah.
Just look at their phone. Like, the most fulfilling, some of the most fulfilling conversations I've had with my peers is really like, you know, just at the table in an event and just ask them about their life. I remember I was in the, naldal ko ha, pero like, just please talk after me. I was in this event. It was a beauty brand event, and it was late for 3 hours. And I was just seated with like these two lovely guys. They're together. I love them. They're so cute together. And we just talked about their life story and their plans. And I found it so fulfilling because, you know, I get to mentor a little bit, but also get to know more about, you know, what they do. So I think that's a more meaningful exchange for men, with women, with anyone, really.
Yeah.
So I think that, asking deeper questions and answering more honestly and more vulnerably definitely allows us to have a better
connection,
better ways of listening to women.
I think fear of also asking questions is because everything is online. You're kind of also thinking like, I guess I already know them. You're like, I already see all of your content. I already know your life. But then you realize that people only post like, 5% of their life? Right. There's so much more that they actually want to know about. And that's also why I love it when there are events and you get to talk to people, because you also get to know more about them behind the content, behind what they post. You're like, oh, there's so much more to you. There's so many layers than this
than what you posted.
Than this video here.
Okay, wow. So I think we're leading towards the end. And so, like, what was going on in my head while listening to you guys as well, not to you ladies. How do you think we can be better women or listen better, I think? So, like, going around the topic, we were talking about, like, what shaped us, our experiences growing up, and the whole, our relationship with competition or other women. Mm-hmm. How do you think we can move forward, come out of this, and, like, do better?
I think like what we've been talking about is just to have an honest conversation. I think that is the most important, because I think we are as women also kind of on guard at all times, mm-hmm. which of course is a natural mm-hmm. thing, unfortunately. But we're always on guard in also what we say. And like what was mentioned in our conversations is like, if you had a more honest conversation with somebody, it's going to give you so much more to listen to and more to talk about as well. Like for me, like what I was mentioning, my first encounter with people is just like, hi.
Yeah.
but if we just went straight into like, oh, let's talk to each other, let's get to know each other. Yeah. And then that makes me more comfortable. And then that just opens up more conversation. So it's like, try your best to have an honest conversation.
Oh, like that. It's about and curiosity. I think I would add to that. I agree. Curiosity also helps. Like, there's worry and kebab, but then if you're genuinely curious about their other people's stories and experiences, mm-hmm. not in the chismis way, but to kind of learn a little bit more and expand.
Yes.
By doing that, by learning more, we kind of shed judgment that we've had downloaded deep down then, I guess. I could add to that.
Yeah. I think at our age specifically, like the older we get, the older it is, the harder it is to form adult friendships. I think we've all mm-hmm. experienced that. And this is something that I really want to focus on, because it's hard for women to develop like new friendships specifically, not like men. I think it's very different because men, it's just like sports, video games, cars.
Just to add, I saw this video of like women passing each other for like one day and then 30 days, they're like not minding each other. And then men are like, second day, bro.
Yeah. I know, right? That's so strange. I think back to the discussion we had earlier, we're just a lot more on guard mm-hmm. about these kinds of things. But more about how to talk to other people and how to talk to other women. I think because there's so much pressure on us, a lot of us have internalized that we have to be this interesting, amazing unicorn of a woman.
Yes.
Right? In all social situations, I think there's a pressure to be that. And that extends, I mean, that I feel like we feel like, oh, I need to be interesting. I need to be cool. I need to be good. I need to be the best. But actually, a good conversation, a good way to start a friendship is to kind of shed that and just be the most curious person in the room. You just have to be interested in another person. You don't have to be the most interesting person. You just have to be interested, have a genuine conversation, you know, from that interest. And like, you'll actually end up becoming the most charming and interesting person in the room without even intending to. Although you can intend to if you want it. But it's something that I always tell. Like yesterday I was mentoring a young person over dinner, and that's what I was telling her. Like, she has difficulty making connections. She sees her friends like once a quarter, which I find, I think it's normal now actually, but she sees her friends not that often, and she's having trouble making new ones. And I was just telling her, you know, just like give up the idea that you have to be the most interesting, the richest, most accomplished person in a table or in a room. Just be interested and just ask those questions and just be vulnerable, and soon enough you're gonna make all of these amazing mm-hmm. connections.
In short, just listen.
Listen. Exactly. Listen to women. Absolutely.
Wow.
Love that.
That's a segue.
We're so good at this.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I love this conversation. I really love that we listen to each other, you know, and we talked about that, because for me, I have the hardest time really to connect with people. And even if this is kind of like put three people
in a room to talk like, about
just
that.
Talk. Yeah. I love these moments because it's when I can be my most vulnerable, but also I can learn so much from individuals. So I just want to thank you both for sharing your experiences, sharing your, making your own spaces so that we have these moments, like for everyone to be inspired to listen and talk as well.
Thank you as well.
Thank
this was
you.
So
I appreciate
fun. I had so much fun listening to you both talk about how women can empower women and listen to women. Ugh. So how can we find out more about your podcast?
Yes, if you guys want to listen more to women like us,
listen to this woman.
you can find me. I am Paano Kong on Spotify and everywhere else. And I'm at Joelle Owell everywhere.
Yes, you can listen to my podcast. It's the Donut Box Podcast. We talk about things we usually don't talk about. But you can also follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at everywhere. Just don't follow me to my house.
Yeah, come by the Project Vanity podcast. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcast. And I'm also Liz Lunzo on my personal Instagram account and projectvanity.com on TikTok and Instagram. Please also visit projectvanity.com for your daily dose of nerdy beauty.
Yay! Happy Women's Month!
Happy Women's Month! Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, guys.
And that is the end of the episode. I hope it was helpful for you in any way in your journey and hope it empowered you to talk to more women and to talk to more people in general. Don't forget to follow at the Donut Box Pod on everywhere you can follow us. And also follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, X, YouTube. All the platforms. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima Podcast podcast, so don't forget to follow them as well for the latest pods. Until the next episode, you already know, you always deserve to eat.